Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, along with you on this day in May 2021. Now, yesterday, we lost a really, really, really talented actor and a great talk show guest, star of the movies Beethoven, Midnight Run, The Heartbreak Kid. Charles Grodin passed away at the age of 86. And what I remember best about Charles Grodin are his appearances on David Letterman and Johnny Carson. He was one of the funniest talk show guests of all time. Just hilarious. I would love when Charles Grodin was going to be on those programs and would watch them with more regularity because of his hilarity. And when I started doing this show, Charles Grodin came on pretty regularly for many years and was just so much fun to have on this program. Now, he passed away yesterday at the age of 86, but I want to play a clip here of Charles Grodin on David Letterman many years ago, but still very funny. Go get 'em, Charles.
Your Broadway play. I didn't realize you were a...
Of course you did. I've been on this show for years telling you this.
The Right Kind of People. What's this all about, The Right Kind of People?
The Right Kind of People is about a Fifth Avenue co-op board in New York. Co-op board is where you have to go and apply to live in the building.
Yeah, it's hell.
And they look you over, and it's very hard. There's an article in the paper today, actually, about how difficult it is. A person like you, for example, would never get in.
I got in, but I know it's...
No, I got in. You were in a co-op building?
Yes, I'm in.
You went in front of a co-op board and you're in?
Yes, and I'm in.
Are you serious?
Yes, and a revered member of the cooperative.
What are you on the east or west side?
I'm downtown.
Oh.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
No, I'm talking about Fifth Avenue in the 70s.
Oh, I have no interest in that.
You would never get in.
Yeah, I'd get in.
No, I'll tell you why you
wouldn't
get in.
No, they wouldn't get in. I wouldn't want them in. I don't want them in that building.
No, I'm talking about the Park View on Fifth Avenue, right next door to Klaus von Bülow's building. And you would not get in, and I'll tell you why.
They let Klaus von Bülow in and I can't get in?
Right.
That's awful.
Well, no, here's the reason. You know, the people would say about you, you know, he's very funny on television. Uh-huh. He looks like a very jolly guy and all this stuff. Yeah. But if you're ever alone in an elevator with him,
right,
which I've never been with you, thank God, but I have crossed your path backstage, uh-huh, and it's one of the most chilling experiences. Because on camera...
The legendary Charles Grodin with the equally legendary David Letterman many years ago. And a gentleman who was on the stage when that was happening joins us right now to remember Charles Grodin, one of our favorite guests on this program. He was David Letterman's announcer, the first voice you heard on The Late Show with David Letterman every night, five nights a week for many, many years, Alan Coulter. Alan, how are you?
Hey, Scott, it's just a pleasure to be on with you again. Really appreciate it.
It's good to speak with you. Charles Grodin was one of the most frequent guests on The Late Show. Why do you think that was?
I think it was because of his personality and the character that he portrayed when he came on and talked to Dave. The underappreciated, unhappy man, no matter what happened. Dave was always appreciating that sense of humor. And I don't think he ever got out of it. He did the same thing in his films and on TV. He took the character, he got the most out of the character, and you couldn't get him to change from that character. He wanted to be on more often, so every time he came on the show, he would walk over to the chair, grumpy, sit in the chair. Dave would say, "What's the matter, Charles?" And Charles would always say, I don't understand. It's been months and months and months since I got a call from your people. You never have me on. I'm supposed to be good. You like me. And then a year passes before I get another call from you. I loved it. I just thought that deadpan humor and the sticking to characters is one of the most sensational things I've seen from an actor.
You have seen many guests on many talk shows. Where do you put Charles Grodin?
Well, when I started with Dave in 1995, I had been watching him. I'd been a big fan of Letterman on the show, on the Late Show. And when he was on NBC, very same thing, watched him all the time. I thought Charles Grodin was on the top of the list when I came on the show. I couldn't wait for them to bring him on again.
And how do you think Letterman felt about him?
I think Letterman loved him. You know, there were two characters who did that in the years that I was there, and even before. One was Grodin, and the other one was Regis Philbin. Regis would come in on every show, and Dave loved Regis. And Regis's thing, time after time, was, we're friends, and you won't go out to dinner with me. How about after tonight? How about next week? Give me a date in 10 years from now. Just give me a date so I can see you. We're friends. And Dave would shake his head no. Grodin did the very same thing. Why haven't I been here lately? Underappreciated. And the sincerity that he gave, I think, comes off in his movies as well. He's completely in character. Whether it's a sincerity that you take as a lie, or is a lie, or is a sincerity that's saying, I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Every one of his characters had that, and I was a fan of his in movies as well. Loved Heartbreak Kid.
No, his movies were great. He gets remembered a lot for Beethoven, because that was a hugely popular film with children. But yes, as you say, Heartbreak Kid and Midnight Run and Rosemary's Baby, which he was in. Do you think he was an underappreciated actor?
Well, he wasn't a star. Didn't have the stardom that he brought on with him each time. He didn't come on as a Clint Eastwood or a Robert De Niro. He didn't come on saying, look at me, look who I am. I am great. He came on as, I'm not great. I'm just an average guy who wants to be appreciated.
What was he like off camera? Did you have run-ins with him off camera?
I love talking to him, yes. There were, I considered people who spoke to anyone around, the backstage people, not on camera but off camera, as an indication of their personalities, whether they were good people or bad people, nice people or mean people. And Charles was one of the good guys. Charles was one of the good people. The Carol Burnetts and the Clint Eastwoods and a number of people who would speak to anybody. If you came up to them, they wouldn't shun you. He was a very nice person, and he did a lot of charitable things. I don't know if you've even gotten to that yet, but he was helpful in to the people that he thought were downtrodden, the homeless, and people inside New York City and outside New York City where he lived.
Absolutely. Alan, I know we're on very limited time, but this morning, when you look back on the man that you saw visit the set many, many times, how are you going to remember him personally?
I like him in the movies. I could see his movie over and over again. I liked him on Letterman, and I couldn't wait till they invited him back. I wish they had him on every week. In his later years, and in the later years that I was there, the last 10 or 12 years, Charles wasn't on that often. But wherever he was, in whatever medium, whether it be TV and another show or movies, I always searched for him and appreciated him when I saw him.
And Alan, the audience would like to know, how are things with you? How have things been?
They've been fine. I loved every moment I spent on stage with The Late Show and with Dave. It was a good 20 years. I wouldn't have it any other way. I did what I wanted to do. I was a 10-year-old when he hired me, and I was an 11-year-old when he left the air. It was just being a kid. And you can't do anything in life that you can appreciate as much as loving something that you do and being paid for it. And I loved it.
Alan, one more question here in regard to Charles Grodin. You know, he was a very unique personality, and a lot of those personalities, like Regis Philbin, resided in New York and just became part of the landscape of the city. With people like Regis gone now, and now Charles Grodin, Will we ever see their like again, or was that just a certain type of celebrity, a certain type of entertainment?
I hope we see that type of a personality come back again. I miss so many of them. The Robin Williams and Don Rickles, who's no longer with us, and Regis. And, I remember enjoying Bill Cosby on his many visits to The Late Show. I still enjoy Bill Murray and Billy Crystal. And there are a number of them that are still around and will be around for decades to come. But we appreciate it. We appreciate it a great deal.
Absolutely.
We're really happy to have.
Absolutely. Alan Coulter, longtime announcer on The Late Show with David Letterman and a very varied various career in other aspects. Alan, next time, hopefully we can have you on longer in a happier situation.
Love to do it, Scott. You take care.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. Alan Coulter, how about that, remembering the legendary Charles Grodin? And I loved when Charles Grodin would come on this show, and he came on fairly frequently, as I say. We would have him on as often as we could, and let's see here. We have a couple clips today that I wanted to play of Charles Grodin's appearances on this particular program, because I really did love having him on. It was just, I knew it was going to be fun. Now, this first clip comes from August the 4th, 2016. Now, this would have been pre-presidential election 2016. August the 4th, 2016, Charles Grodin on this show, and you'll get kind of a feel of what Charles Grodin was like. Here's the legendary Charles Grodin.
Oh, we love. Oh, is this something that people haven't heard? Is this one that hasn't aired?
Right.
Oh, this will be good.
I always enjoy seeing the New York Mets broadcaster Keith Hernandez. Several years ago, I hosted an event for the Mets. As I got up from the table to go to the podium, Keith said to me, "Don't bomb." I said, "You'll be on the floor laughing in a minute." I got to the podium, said a couple of mildly amusing things, looked over at Keith, who was on the floor laughing. What a good-natured guy. He actually got on the floor because of the line I said to him.
Well, that's good.
Very sweet. Very sweet.
Very
guy.
Nice man.
Yeah.
Now, do you write about, because certainly our world today is controlled by politics, do you do any political comedy?
I actually have had a brief encounter with Donald Trump and with Hillary Clinton. And it's interesting because you remember, though. Well, I remember those things. I think anyone would. Donald Trump, this was years ago, I was seated at just the two of us was at a table at some event. He asked me what I was doing. I said, "I'm a commentator for 60 Minutes." And he said, "I don't watch 60 Minutes." It was like, no matter what you'd say, he'd have to do that. Then I knew he'd been a guest on my CNBC talk show, so I had the DVD. I looked at it, and sure enough, this is way back in the mid-90s. He's talking about suing Merv Griffin over something.
Oh, why would anybody want to sue Merv?
Having something to do with hotels in Atlantic City or something like that. But he's very... you know, he's not the kind of, you want a conciliatory person to be president. You don't want somebody who's like, you know, gets up there like a challenging type of person. It's just not a good temperament. But on the other hand, with Hillary Clinton, I was sitting in the back of a big event alone, and she was alone a little further back than I was. And as we walked out, as a joke, I said to her, "I understand you're going to sing tonight." And she said, "That'll empty the joint in a minute." So my little exposure to her was better. Trump makes me nervous. I think he makes a lot of Republican voters nervous as well.
That was Charles Grodin on this program back in August, let's see if we can get the date here again, August the 4th, 2016. Now, what was great about Charles Grodin? Much like when he was on with David Letterman or when he was on with Johnny Carson, he would come on and he was kind of a curmudgeon. That's kind of what he did. And he was difficult. Now, you never talked about it. You never said, "Okay, Charles, you're going to come on and be difficult, or you're going to come on and play this character." He just came on and was. Now, sometimes it would be show business stories, but a lot of times he would get that kind of curmudgeon-y attitude, and it was always hilarious. And there are certain people you can only have on about one time because they tell us about their career and they tell us about their ups and downs, and it's very fascinating. But beyond that, you know, there's nothing really else to talk about. But Charles Grodin was somebody you could have on every day of the week because he liked to argue. He was, well, I don't even know if argue is the right word. He was just clever. He was very, very clever. And aside from doing all these great movies, Rosemary's Baby, and he was also in King Kong, and he was in Midnight Run, and Heartbreak Kid, and Beethoven. He also had his own talk show on CNBC for years, and he also was a commentator on 60 Minutes when it was on, and a commentator for CBS Radio for so many years. He did a lot of stuff. Now, to show you what kind of thing could happen when Charles would come on the show, I'm going to play this clip. This is also from the August 4th, 2016 appearance on this show. I don't remember exactly what Charles was talking about, but he was talking about an experience from his career in which he had a personality conflict with somebody. And it led to a conversation about psychiatry. And that's where we're going to pick this up. This is Charles Grodin on this show, August the 4th, 2016. Hope you enjoy this as much as I did.
Well, now, Charles, have you ever thought about seeing a psychiatrist?
Yeah, I saw a psychiatrist.
Really? Personally?
Yeah, I think once or not much. I went a couple of times.
Maybe that's the problem.
I don't think there is a problem. I'll tell you why. I'm very happily married.
Good.
I have excellent relationships with my son and my daughter.
Congratulations.
And I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So what am I going to talk to a psychiatrist about?
Well, I think about these issues you have of being disliked by people.
No, it's just those two people.
Well, no, but earlier on we talked about, you know, David Letterman is not a friendly guy, and
that was all.
Yeah.
A lot of that was for television, for, you know, just.
But no, you said you wouldn't have dinner with him today because he would make you uncomfortable.
No, I may be with him in Regis Philbin.
And Johnny Carson, you have a regret. This has been 100 years now.
Yeah,
but going
the
on safari.
You must understand about these people. They were known to be reclusive.
They were. But so why do you harbor it to this day?
I'm not harboring it. It comes up now. Why do you keep bringing it up?
Well, you know, I didn't bring it up. How would I know that Johnny Carson asked you on safari?
Because you brought up you showed a clip from Johnny Carson.
But I played a clip. This is radio. I couldn't show it. I would have loved
to
show it.
Radio, hold on. But you told me this was television.
No, but it seems to be this Johnny Carson thing might be with you forever, Charles, until you get back on the couch.
No, just I wouldn't call it a problem in my life.
Well, you never know.
You have feelings about things. Are you married, Scott?
No, I'm not.
Okay, there's your answer. I want your audience to hear that. And how old a man are you, Scott?
But you know, Charles, these questions are getting a little personal.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean, uh-huh?
You can dish it off, but you can't take it.
No, I can. What can I take?
You got to be prepared to answer questions if you ask your guests those questions.
I never asked you how old you were, Charles.
You can look that up.
How old are you?
80.
80?
No, I'm 81.
Well, you lied.
I was 80 before I came on.
Are you married, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay, how many times?
Well, I'm married to my present wife for like 40 years.
So there was a previous wife.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened to her?
And she passed away, unfortunately, and she had left me before that.
Charles Grodin, I loved having him on, and I'll tell you, you know, you don't become obstinate, usually with a guest like that, but you could do it, and he liked it, and it was fun. What can you say? Charles Grodin, absolutely one of a kind, gone yesterday at the age of 86, and you know, we have a lot of people who depart, you know, that's the way life goes, but boy, when I heard that Charles had passed, I really, really was sad because I enjoyed his appearances on this show so much. When I knew Charles was going to be on that day, I knew we were going to have fun. And he was a great actor, but boy, was he a good guest. And it's hard to be a good guest, But Charles was one of the best. That's one of my favorites. Now, I would be remiss also if I don't mention the passing of another guest on this show recently, who had been on many, many times, Norman Lloyd, who was for long known as the oldest working actor in Hollywood, and was on this program, if people remember. He was on last August. He was on August the 4th, 2020. He was 105 years old when he appeared on this show last year. And he passed away recently at the age of 106. And Norman was... he had been in Alfred Hitchcock's Saboteur. He knew Alfred Hitchcock. He was a friend of his. He played tennis with Charlie Chaplin. But he'd also worked all the way up to 2015 with Amy Schumer. Now, how many people worked with Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Alfred Hitchcock, Amy Schumer, and he was also, a lot of people remember him as a regular on the television series St. Elsewhere, where he portrayed a doctor. Now, Norman, as I said, was on with us last August at age 105, August the 4th, 2020. Now, here was Norman Lloyd's last appearance with us, and at 105, we kind of talked about the secret of life and death, and so on and so forth. Here's Norman Lloyd's last appearance on this show, a little clip from it, August the 4th, 2020. Go get him, Norman.
Norman, what is the secret to life? What message do you have for our audience at this point in your life?
There is none. You know, the most broken lines about an answer to your question was the end of Alice in Wonderland, which was written by, well, escapes me at the moment, but a famous writer. When it was over, the last line of the principle was life. What is it but a dream? I think I can give you a better answer.
Absolutely. Norman, at this point, do you have any fears at all?
Fears?
Yes.
Well, I don't know them offhand, and so I can't articulate any. But what I must tell you is that I'm asking for trouble if I say no. So let me say to you that I fear any fears that I fear.
Norman. Norman, you're going to go on another 100 years, but do you...
I have every intention of doing so.
I bet you do. Do you ever think or have any thoughts on death when you're 105?
Well, I think about it. Yes, I would not be telling you the truth if I said I don't think of it. Because as you reach my age, which is 105, I'll be 106 very soon, you think about it. How do you feel about your family and what you about leaving them and all that? And how they will be living with you gone. So I do have those thoughts. But they're gentle. And I have a beautiful family. And so I think about them. Hello? Yeah, go on.
Norman Lloyd, on this program last August, 105 years old, gone just a few days ago at the age of 106. So we remember very fondly Charles Grodin, who passed away yesterday at the age of 86, and Norman Lloyd, who I believe passed away late last week, at the age of 106. Any comments on Charles Grodin or Norman Lloyd or Governor Strickland this morning, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you out there in listener land. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Now, Vax-a-Million is up and running. Apparently, thousands of people yesterday signed up for this. It's going to be interesting. I guess May 26th. Now, as Governor Strickland was saying earlier, I found it fascinating that, you know, he feels Governor DeWine should not do the drawings. And I don't know if he'll be in the room when that's done or not. I don't know who will do the drawings. I think that'll be very fascinating as that all plays out. Now, we'll have Glenn Coble in here today from 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Glenn will be on from 12:15 until 1 p.m., and we also have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m., all here today on WWGH Radio. Any memories of Charles Grodin or Norman Lloyd, or anything, any comments about what Governor Ted Strickland had to say this morning, give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. These were two great guys. They really, really were. Charles Grodin and Norman Lloyd. I don't know how many times Charles Grodin was on this show. Many times. And a lot of those are available on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Now, Norman was on quite a bit. Norman came on last year at 105 because he was one of the few people who I know had been around during the last pandemic. And Norman also came on during a World Series, where he was one of the few people who had been at the first World Series about 90 years earlier. I believe it was of the Dodgers, if I remember right. Norman knew everybody, and what great health this gentleman was in. I remember the first time he came on, he was either 100 or pretty close to it, and he came on, and he was just, you would never know it. Didn't seem to have any hearing problems. His voice was very strong. And a matter of fact, if you listen at Christmas, he recorded How the Grinch Stole Christmas for us, and I believe 'twas the night before Christmas that we play at Christmas time around here every year. And he did it. He was such a, you know, he was an actor's actor. I don't know if those type of actors exist anymore that were around that many years ago. Being 106, you know, he started working, I believe, sometime in the 30s. So it was a different era of actors back then. And he is the guy in Saboteur. I believe he plays a Nazi. He hangs from the Statue of Liberty. Does anybody remember that scene where the guy's hanging from the Statue of Liberty? That's Norman Lloyd. And, of course, he was on St. Elsewhere, as I said. A lot of people remember him there. And then, dear Charles Grodin. Oh, just... He, to me, there are few guests who become very regular to this show. Just a handful that you always are happy when they come on, and that was Charles Grodin. Just for that exchange that I played earlier. he would do that, and he would allow those exchanges to happen, and he would make them funny, and he knew that was good. I think he understood the talk show better than anybody, that, you know, you don't create conflict, and you don't contrive anything. That's not good. But if it happens, just go with it. That's the best type of talk show you can have. You can't plan something like that, but if it happens, just let it happen. And Charles Grodin certainly knew how to do that. Does anybody have any more thoughts on the Vax-a-Million? We had a lot of thoughts. Oh, we had a call as we were going off the air yesterday. When we were going off the air, we were talking about, I had a caller on the line, and we were talking about something that happened over here on South Prospect Street, down by the island. Was it Monday night? Yeah, it would have been Monday night, where fire engines were called and things of that nature. Does anybody know what that would have been over here on South Prospect, down by the island on Monday night? Does anybody know what incident would have happened? And Ryan, I see, came in yesterday and got his corn. Now, did he pop this last night, this popcorn on a cob that he won? And did he video it for us? Now, he can email me the video. Go to the website. My email's on the website, wwgh1071.com. But let me know. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, according to Channel 10 News, the Ohio Lottery Commission is going to do the drawing.
So, is it somebody from the lottery is going to come in and do the drawing?
I guess they're going to do it on the lottery show.
Oh, they're going to do it right on during the lottery show at 729 on whatever that is. What channel's that on?
I'm not sure. I don't watch it.
So the governor, will he be in the room when this is done?
I don't think so, but they didn't say.
What did you make of what Governor Strickland had to say this morning?
I didn't listen to it. I fell asleep.
Now, did you fall asleep during or before?
Huh?
Did you fall asleep during the interview or before the interview?
Right when the interview started.
Oh, right when the... So now, did we put you to sleep, or were you just tired?
No, I was half doggy. I took a sleeping pill.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want to put people to sleep.
A few hours before, that made me a little doggy, so I...
Oh, so you got up very early this morning.
Yeah, I was up pretty early, and then... I was up for a couple hours, still doggy, and then your show came on, and then... Next thing I knew, I was out.
Well, hopefully we figure out what's going to go on with these drawings. I mean, is just like the regular lottery lady, is she just going to come in and pull the name out of the hat during the lottery program?
They didn't say. They just said the Ohio Lottery Commission was going to conduct a drawing.
Well, I know that...
They figure, you know, the Ohio Lottery is known for, you know... their expertise in that situation.
Well, I know the lottery's handling it, and I know it's being sponsored by the Health Commission, but I don't know who's going to do the drawing or how that's going to happen. I just know that it's going to be at 729 on the 26th, I believe. I'm not even sure what day of the week that is.
Yeah, I still need to get entered. I didn't get entered yet.
So you haven't called the number?
No.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's called the number. Now, we heard people signing up via the internet, but I wonder if anybody's called the number yet.
I don't know. I just wonder if I'm going to have to call a dozen times before I get through.
Well, once you give them a call us back and let us know how the process went.
Yeah, it's out in the truck. I have to go get it. I don't get around too good, so I didn't go out there yesterday.
But let us know when it happens. Thanks for calling, though.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Has anybody called the number yet? Now, we've all heard what happens online and how you get signed up online. I know a lot of people did that yesterday. But has anybody done the phone number yet? Is it an easy process? Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And again, Ryan has the popcorn now on a cob. And wonder if he popped that. Everybody's so anxious to see what that looks like. Because it's not in a bag, it's on a cob. And it goes in the microwave, is my understanding, the Uncle Oz goods. So I know Angie wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. There was somebody, Glenn, wanted to see how this thing popped. So hopefully we get a video from our friend Ryan, who won it, who I do think picked it up yesterday. Maybe we'll hear from him at some point today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm being told now that the lottery drawing is on Channel 6. So, apparently on May the 26th, which I think is a Wednesday, at 7:29 p.m. on Channel 6, the lottery drawing will go down, but I don't know who will be doing the drawing. I don't know if the lottery lady will just pick it. I don't even know who the lottery lady is. Does anybody watch the lottery show on Wednesdays? Well, tonight, I guess it'll be on. I guess next Wednesday is the first drawing. Would it not be? Today's the 19th. Next Wednesday, the 26th, will be our first million-dollar winner. Does anybody watch this lottery show? Who draws the numbers? I've never, honestly, I've never watched it. 740-383-9944. Now, our conversation as we were going off the air yesterday, we were talking about a couple stories I did last week about one-way streets in Marion and the parking issue in Marion, and people thought that was negative to put that out on the radio. But it was more history. But somebody did call in yesterday as we were going off the air, and I think they left it on the answering machine. I'd already left yesterday. That a lot of this has to do with Whirlpool. That, you know, people have got to get to Whirlpool to work, I think was what the caller was saying on the voicemail. So, I don't know if that's for the one-way streets, or against the one-way streets, or what that is. And I don't know if Whirlpool figured into this at all. I don't know. I know in the 60s, it was 1960, the article I had out here yesterday in regard to the one-way streets, I know that's when it all started to kind of shake out. But yesterday, and again, people will think this is negative, but that I did drive down Main Street on Friday night, and that area where they have done the diagonal parking, because now Main Street's down to two lane, it's kind of difficult because the trucks, people have the big trucks now. And I'm not sure how long those trucks are, but when I was driving down through there Friday night, you had trucks on both sides of the street. And when they're sticking out like that, some of these big, I don't know, do you call them suburban trucks? Not little pickup trucks. The rear ends hang out in the road. And it would not take much to hit the back of one of these trucks. You know, you would not have to veer far to the left or far to the right, depending on which lane you were in, to hit one of these trucks. And not that you would want to do it purposely, but it's a little bit of a hazard there. You know, the streets, I guess they're just not wide enough. I don't know. You know, in Upper, for whatever reason, the streets seem a little wider. But, you know, weren't we reading last week that during the streetscape that they were extending the curbs? I don't know. You know, I wasn't around for a whole lot of this, so I don't know. And the only point I was making last week, by the way, when people thought I was being negative, was that sometimes we have good intentions. And there's nothing wrong with good intentions. But I think we have to look back on what happened and repeat it sometimes, because people do forget history and say, okay, this is how we got to where we are. Now, what are we going to do to fix it? Or what is the reality of the situation? I think sometimes we don't get into the reality of what these situations are. And I think if we confronted the reality of it more often, we would get a lot further in life. Because there are certain things that just aren't going to happen no matter how much you try. Like I always say, if you put a fast food place in downtown Marion, a lot of people would come. And the first thing everybody always says is, well, no fast food place is going to go downtown. Well, see, that's an example of the reality of the situation. And I don't think people take that as negative. They just know that, that no fast food place is probably going to go downtown because of area and space and things of that nature. It's just a very difficult reality, I guess. But if anybody has anything to say on the parking or anything of that nature, give us a buzz, and we'd love to hear some positive in regard to this. Has anybody heard of anything positive going on downtown beyond the restaurants coming in and some of the things that are being done downtown with the parking? And by the way, I think the parking idea, adding more parking, is great. It's a great idea. But, you know, we just got to work out some of the kinks. Sometimes you don't know the kinks until you start to solve the problem. And I think one of the kinks in this particular situation is just those big trucks, which nobody probably thought of. I wouldn't have thought of it, that hang out in the middle of the road. Now, we've obviously got to deal with that, but we will, I'm sure. And we'll go forward. Or maybe everybody will drive extra cautiously, and there'll never be an accident down there. There'll never be a sideswipe or a fender bender, which would be better for all of us. All right, phone lines are open here. We've got about 5 minutes left in this portion of the program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz with about 5 minutes left. Again, Glenn Coble will come in when this show's over today, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then we will have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. We've got a Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today, 12 to 1. And Trinity Baptist Sunday Sermon, 6 till 7. Go ahead, caller.
Had a question for you.
Go ahead.
See how good your memory is.
All right.
What is the name of the place that's moving in next to Perkins?
Del Taco.
Del Taco.
Del Taco. Now, isn't that amazing? I'd remember that.
Yeah.
D-E-L? D-E-L. Yes. Del Taco. They have a web page.
Okay. I can remember Taco. That's all I can remember.
Yeah. Del Taco. Now, have you driven up and down Main Street since they added the parking?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had a problem getting through there.
No, I think you can get
through this station. Well, the trucks are not supposed to be down there.
Oh, really?
That's always been that way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a no, no through trucks in our street. They're supposed to use Prospect and State Street because Main Street was never wide enough to begin with the parking on both sides.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. When I drove down there Friday night, you know, they had these big suburban trucks parked in the diagonal parking, and I thought, boy, they hang out in the street.
Those trucks ought to park in the parking, the city parking lot over there and walk over. That's supposed to be just for cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things, that always upsets me when I go to Kroger's or someplace like that, and there's a truck hanging out in the middle of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And they always want to park up close to the building, because they don't want to walk. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've noticed it there, too. You know, you go into these parking lots, just like Kroger or Walmart, they pull through, and their rear end hangs into the parking lot.
They hang over, yeah, so there's nobody can park behind them.
Yeah, you can't park behind them.
And if you're sitting in a parking spot beside one, you can't see around them to back out.
You're right. Drive downtown, though. When the restaurants are kind of busy, about 6 o'clock on Friday night, if you happen to be out, mm-hmm. just go down Main Street and look at the suburban trucks on both sides of that diagonal parking and see how tight it is getting through Main Street.
Oh, I can imagine. That doesn't make sense to me that they do that. They need to put signs up there, no trucks.
Yeah, yeah. That would fix the problem.
Yeah, it would. It would.
Yeah. Well, hey.
I don't think it would hurt the businesses any.
No, I can't think so.
No trucks, please park in city lot.
Yeah, you know, the cars are fine. The cars fit there just fine.
And all they'd have to do is walk down the alley. This is only like another 100 foot through the alley to the city parking lot, so that wouldn't be any handicap for people, so.
No, absolutely, you're right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
I understand it. Thank you. Del Taco is what's going in next to Perkins, so we were told. Del Taco, D-E-L Taco, and you can search that and you get a whole web page about the Del Taco business, which apparently is very well known. Again, Glenn Coble joins me from 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon. Then we have a Progressive Life today from 12:10 till 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight here on this station. And again, we thank Alan Coulter, the longtime announcer on Late Show with David Letterman, for joining us this morning to remember the late Charles Grodin, and also former governor Ted Strickland for being on in hour number one to talk about the whole COVID-19 restriction issue being lifted, the restrictions being lifted on June the 2nd, as well as the Vax-O-Million 5-week lottery coming up. Now, apparently, and also we all learned this morning that the drawing will take place during the 7:29 p.m. lottery program, which will be a week from today on May the 26th. Well, we'll be back in 15 minutes.
LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel like, you know, fast foods have ruined the world. Oh. On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big burger thing where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are tropical and that